So here we go again, the greatest news ever told, part two. I'll invite you to turn into your Bibles to 1 John as we continue in God's Word. Last week, while you're looking it up, we heard about how we're loved and how we've been adopted into the family of God as His children. And these are indeed life-giving, wonder-stretching, heart-settling, peace-instilling, joy-fueling, purpose-determining truths, if we will only lay hold to them. I had intended, I confess to you, to run ahead in the biblical narrative to verse 11 and following, love one another. But I felt led to preach one additional observation this week that's noteworthy and necessary for many of us that are gathered this morning. What happens next is most natural, and we should not miss it. And woe to me if I skip past it. And so we're going to be in this same text with one additional verse. Roll it back a couple of verses. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse number 28 this morning. God's Word reads this way. And now, little children, abide in Him, so that when He appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from Him in shame at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure, you may be certain that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Behold, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. John goes to incredible heights to explain our privileged position in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3. And the extent to which I really grasp what he's saying in those verses, that I'm loved and that I'm a child and that I also possess a future glory, the extent of all that is proved by how I walk out verse 3. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. Notice John doesn't go on and on. It's one thought to the next. He just says it. And to cut to the chase, one cannot be loved by God, cannot be adopted into the family of God, and remain the same. The profoundest things that are said in the Bible, what we've tagged the greatest news ever told, are said to us not just simply that we may know them, but that by knowing we might do. And we might do because we know that we are loved and His children. It's somewhat like the little boy we left off with last week in our mind, dreaming of someday becoming like his daddy. That little boy knows that he's loved. He knows he's the daddy's child. And he dreams of growing up like daddy. The apostle writes, "And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he's pure." And I want to step through a couple of these phrases this morning with us, and then lay my heart on the line with you. The apostle begins with the word "and." "And" is a connector word. It's a remarkable "and," by the way, with which this verse begins. The apostle has just been touching on the heights of what we hope for. That one day we will be glorified, that we will be with him, and we will be like him. Now, the heights of that picture, and this is one of the phrases that Tony shared this last week, go beyond our ability to really, truly understand. Some of you know the group Mercy Me. I can only imagine what that might be like someday. But as Tony told us Wednesday night, no matter what you imagine, God is more than all of that. He is more. I assure you, is more. And John is an aged man at this point. We remember that. He refers to himself as an elder, not so much from the church standpoint, but his aged state as one who's been there and done that. And he's experienced all of this. And can you feel his anticipation? He's getting closer and closer to this day of glorification. "We shall see him," he writes, "as he is." As he is. Have you ever thought about that? John walked with Christ during his earthly ministry. But yet even John anticipates that now we shall see him as he really is. And because of this future view of glory, now without pause, this anticipation of glory, he links his thoughts together with a simple "and." And everyone who hopes in him, we might say, as John himself does, he purifies himself as he is pure. It's a simple "and" with plain, immensely practical and visionary implications. And everyone, all without exception, that have put their trust and confidence in Jesus Christ the Lord, and all. This is us at Audubon in these pews. This, with God's great favor, are other churches within the community of Louisville and beyond. We like to wink and say mostly Southern Baptist, but guess what? Probably a few outside the Southern Baptist faith. All, everyone, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone. We run headlong into this next phrase, "who thus hopes in him." Hope. Hope is a tricky word. It probably is for you. It certainly is for me. The world defines hope in this way, as something far less than certain that I would like to get soon. I hope that I will get that new job. I hope that I will get a new car. I hope that my Easter lily grows this year. Hope. And historians tell us from this time era in the ancient world, hope was grounded in those short-term realities. And so you understand when the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he's writing to them, chastising them about putting their hope in genealogies and philosophy and knowledge apart from Christ. And by the way, hope in the ancient world was not such a positive thing because it disappointed so often. philosophy, idolatrous religion, disappointed so often in that day that they say a cloud hung over the people. A cloud of what? Hopelessness. Now, when John says, and everyone who thus hopes in him, this is a completely different orientation. And this is going to be a challenge to all of us, too, that live in the hope of today. And so you need to hear this. What John is saying is that he's looking forward to something that he is quite certain, absolute, every confidence will happen. But it will not happen to that day that he is fully glorified and with Christ. His hope is stored up for that day when, as he writes, we shall see him like he is. That, the apostle is absolutely rock solid confident about. It's a hope for the believer that is based and wrapped up in the finished work of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The hope that he describes is not, in the original language, a hope. It is the hope. Definite article, present tense in the Greek, the people that have been educated in such tell us. Jesus Christ, the hope. Jesus Christ, the hope. The Father glorifying Christ in present and you in future, the hope. This is the hope that John says. It's a glorious and eternal hope. But yet these things are really easy to say. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. And they're very difficult to do. We get so twisted up when things don't necessarily go our way. You know, we lose hope. But here's the thing. Such feelings are grounded in worldly hope. And we must confess that we too are prone to fall prey to them. But feel not alone. Even the great apostle Paul records, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Our hope, beloved, is in the day eternal. It's a hope that Charles Spurgeon described this way. What a blessed hope this is, that though we fall asleep, that's a different kind of sleep, kids, we shall surely wake again. It will be in the likeness of the great head of the family. And we ourselves shall be heirs of an inheritance in which there will be no sin and no corruption. As Dan taught a couple of weeks ago, a new heaven, a new earth, without pain. Paul records in Romans chapter 8, And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him. Some days without present hope. In order that we may be glorified with him. Now, you want a truth check on how much God loves you? And your privilege as his child? Hear that again. And if children, and John has reminded us that we are children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Do you hear? That should be like a powder keg for your mind. That You are a son or daughter of God. And because of that, there are all kinds of questions, but none bigger for me than, does that make me kind of a pseudo-Jesus sibling by adoption? See, Paul says that we are fellow heirs with Christ. This must be some perplexing, strange love indeed. But Pastor Eubank began by saying that you are going to give us a third leg to the stool of the greatest news ever told. And so, fair enough. We'll do that now. And this one is so necessary, and I pray that you have thought about and meditated on the fact that you are loved by God and that you're a child of God. And the third is this, and then we'll move on in the text next week. He, God, knows that I am unfinished. He knows that I am unfinished, and it's okay. See, when you're a child, and all the sons and daughters understand this in the sanctuary, there's inherent pressure that comes with that role. And while the little boy might dream of being like dad, there's going to come a time when that seems difficult or not really what we want to do. Certainly in a fallen world, the father can be prone to sin that can tarnish that image. But often it's the little boy that is feeling the pressure and coming up short. And God the Father says, I know that you are unfinished. Yet he still loves you. And he still calls you his precious child, son, daughter. And he chooses to make us a fellow heir with Christ. No matter that I'm unfinished, no matter that I'm a goofball, no matter that I sin and fall down and am imperfect and sinful still and not perfectly purified. He knows that I'm unfinished and he knows that you're unfinished and that's okay. Now for some of you, you're not so sure. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Because you're unfinished, you feel that God just may unlove you. And he might just send you back. That's not what God's word says. It says that you are loved and that you're a child. And he knows that you're unfinished. Now, there have been many things in my life that have tripped up my faith, but none bigger than that. This line of unfinished. As a younger man, it greatly discouraged me to the point of despair. I would cycle through in my mind time and time again, asking him, honestly, many times to save me over and over again. Some of you understand that cycle. Frightened, believing, reading the word, but yet unfinished. And some days, very unfinished, caring very little about the work of purification. And I'd come across verses like verse 3, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself, and he is pure. And I want you not to misunderstand. I desperately wanted to be the proof point of verse 3, to purify myself. It was just I couldn't quite get there. And when I didn't, it was suffocating. And many would probably say the same thing. The tension for the child of God is real. And we read verse 3. And verse 3 is in the scriptures for us to work on. And feelings of inadequacy and unworthiness invade us as we succumb to sin and fall down over and over again. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. You know, my best day, pride. It becomes a ready friend when things go well. And comparison, that's not really a word that I would compare myself to others. I feel pretty good when I was a little more purified than the person that I was looking upon. Legalism was ever present on my best days. I felt pretty worthy. It's a dangerous place for the child of God. And on my worst, there's no way that I could really be saved. Doubt haunts and soul-numbing greatness results. You know, I ask you, am I speaking the truth? This is the challenge of the Christian life. If we leave the greatest news ever told with only the first two, I'm loved and I'm a child, those expectations can become so much. But Audubon Baptist Church and beyond, He knows that you're unfinished. He does. And it's okay. And He still loves you. And He still calls you His child. And your eternal glorification waits. Some of you look rather doubtful. I want to offer you three proof points that come from these texts that you can just look and to expand your study. Verse 2, chapter 3, reads this way. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. You are not finished. Verse 3 we'll get to in just a moment. Verse 29. You may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. There's such grace in these verses. The word practice. The word's laden with unfinished and it's okay, but keep going. Do the work to get better. Aim at the finish line, little by little, better every day. Practice is familiar to us. We practice ball from a young age. We practice piano from a young age. We practice memorization, spelling, so many things from a young age. And the apostle writes to practice. Practice. You know, the thing about practice is often it's just you in solitude doing your best. This morning's proof point, though, comes from verse 3. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as he is pure. The thought's very simple. Purify yourself. An exhortation from an elder with emphasis. Purify yourself. Now, as a younger man, I got cobbled up. I want you to hear, believers do not need to prove that they are children of God. John has already said, you are a child of God. They're told to pursue purity because they are a child of God. Become like Dad because you are a child. And John is essentially saying, you hope to see Him in that day, to be made like Him at that moment in glory, to spend eternity with the Father, to be fellow heirs with Christ. you had better be trying your best to be like him here. In the everyday. There's no guilt here from the apostle. Just a simple if-then statement. If this, then that. Love and imitation working together. So it follows if the urging is towards purity, then certainly today we must be still in somewhat an impure state. Impurity still haunts us. And we prayed this morning earlier, we need encouragement to keep going. Can you use some encouragement this morning in your pursuit of holiness? We were justified at salvation by the blood. John has said we will be glorified with Christ one day. But this in between is the phrase sanctification. And we would testify that sanctification isn't easy and it's not fun. Paul records, "For I don't understand my own actions. I don't do what I want to do, but I do the very thing that I hate." And thus we fall down and all need to be encouraged. Flesh killing hurts and it bewilders. And it takes a long time, so we must keep going. This is the heart of John's message. And John, if he were preaching to you this morning, would want you to be encouraged that God himself understands that you're unfinished in this. And so then how are we to purify ourselves, some might ask? How then? It would be beyond our time to flesh this out completely, but let me give you a macro thought on your noggin. The most direct way is to keep close to Jesus. Okay? Pretty simple. Keep close to Jesus. I would tell you, you can't sin in spades as long as you hold his hand. To have him with you, to direct your thoughts to him, to turn your love to him, to have your will submitted to him gladly, to be conscious and purposeful in your coming and goings, to walk not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but to delight in the law of the Lord. Some of you know that with Psalm 1 comes a great promise. It has to be like the tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in season and its leaf does not wither. To commune with Jesus is to bring an atmosphere around you in which evil cannot be present. You understand? The victory has been won. The enemy will flee exactly as the enemy fled every time Jesus showed up on the scene during his earthly ministry. Hello. And we will make a little step forward with a simple commitment to stay close to Jesus. You will increasingly purify yourself by staying close to Jesus. And we would say as a church, do these matters take effort? And in Wisconsin fashion, we would say, you betcha. You betcha. But we must be honest. It starts with us and it starts with our commitment. And these things can be done. And they must be done. Hear me clearly. Holiness is not a feeling. Holiness is work. It's character. And it's grounded in doing. We might say the spiritual disciplines. When my children fall down and come up short, as their loving, wanting all good for them, Father, I ask them simply, did you do your best? Certainly, as his children, we should expect no less for ourselves. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. So let us go all in. Let us turn to Him from whom the cleansing comes. And then to the very best of our ability, remember that it's our work, John is urging, our doing to purify ourselves, powered by His strength, given to us by the Master. And when we get a little further down the road, let us thank Him and worship Him all the more that He enabled us to do so. And so the stool stands on these three legs. Beloved, you are loved by God. You've been adopted. Paul says, grafted in to the family of God. And it's not incumbent upon you to pretend to be finished, to maintain that love and child status. And so I beseech you to extend grace to yourself. If you're caught in this performance cycle, the Father extends grace to you through His Son. Extend grace to yourself. You are unfinished. But please keep going. Loving Jesus, loving one another more, purifying yourself more, practicing righteousness more, understanding whole and loosely that what you shall become has not yet appeared. Still, God loves you, and He calls you His child, and nothing will change that, and nothing will separate you ever. On October 31st, 2016, I lay on a metal gurney. A dozen children of God gathered in a small room praying over me for God's favor. Metal gurneys aren't made for comfort, and this one was not comfortable. The things that you think about over the next 2 hours and some 45 minutes, a dear friend of mine now would work to save my life. I lay looking up in that room. Fluorescent lights had not been changed to LEDs. Conscious and aware and wondering what the next hours held for me. I assure you, there's not enough time in that moment. Not just me, what the next hours held for Amy Jo and these precious children. I slowly regained consciousness some 3 hours later, surrounded by family, and one overwhelming thought invaded my mind. One emotion, and it couldn't be pushed aside, and it was this: I'm unfinished. I'm unfinished. God loves me and has purpose for me yet here. I'm unfinished. I would encourage you this morning, one need not lay on a gurney to understand and accept that you too are unfinished. God Himself knows that about you and about me. And God's Word speaks plainly, and everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. I assure you, every day is a gift. And because you have breath in your lungs this morning, the next part of your life story is up to you. I pray that He will help you and me too as we hope in Him, as we work to purify ourselves in Him as He is pure. The greatest news ever told is simply that you are loved and that you're His child. And even though He's unfinished, He's okay with that. The writer of Hebrews encourages us to stir one another up. And so I'm going to ask you to do something on your way out of church this morning. Look a brother or sister in the eye and tell them, you're unfinished. Now, the Father always says the next part, and it's okay. And so I'll ask you to follow the Father's lead. If you just say the first part, somebody might be wounded. If you say the second part, you might give them life. You're unfinished, and it's okay. God loves you and has made you His child, and I love you too. So this is church, by the way. The reality that we all recognize that we're unfinished and that we extend grace one to another and that we gather in this place to remind one another of that and that we worship Him all the more and we cheer one another on all the more, little by little becoming like the Redeemer, Jesus the Lord.